Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Guess who's here, everyone? For the listener, Paul Scheer, comedian. Yes. Paul Scheer, director, writer, PA. Were you
yes.
ever a PA?
Oh, of course. And you know what? I have to tell you that as somebody who wants sound effects at the ready, this is my favorite thing. I love watching your show, and now I get to see and be near this machine.
Let me tell you, I was listening to the last episode in my car today because we trimmed them down a little bit.
Sure.
And I was like, God, it's just, you know, obviously it is my show, and hopefully I would like it. But I'm like, these sound effects really hit the spot in a way.
Oh, they're the best.
That normal conversation can't, you know, like to be able to play crickets.
It's to me, it's the best. Because I have tried to do sound effects. I have boards and trying to put it all together, but this feels special to me.
Thank you. Caller, I forgot you were here. Do you agree or do you think that they're annoying?
I love them. I love the sound effects.
This one is long.
It's long.
This one's long.
Caller, I want to get to you in 1 second and say that my son loves playing basketball. And for the last couple of years, every birthday party is a basketball birthday party.
Oh,
so everyone
cute.
Plays
How
basketball.
How old is he?
He is 9. And so I don't play, but I sit on the side with a full sound effects board. And I am the announcer and the DJ and sound effects. And the sound effects, man.
Wait, sound effects during the game?
Oh, yeah.
So it's like... Yeah,
or it'll be like, you know, sometimes it'll be like NBA Jam sound effects, like, on fire.
Okay.
Or like,
more
that's
positive.
A miss.
More positive.
Because adults are playing too.
Oh, okay.
So I mix it up.
It does feel like a dangerous undertaking. Like someone could just come up and fucking punch you in the face.
I know. That's why I have a bodyguard with me at all times. It's but you know what? I'm an entertainer, and I have to be able to do my stuff
to the bone.
That's what I tell you. I was like, get ready to edit this episode down because I'm gonna say everything that's on my mind.
We'll get 3 episodes out of 1 Paul Scheer episode. That's kind of the rule of thumb. Hold on, this is so good.
This is great.
I just did realize though, it's way past my threshold for coffee.
It is a later time.
It's literally 5:00. I will be up. I will be up. What is my schedule?
Oh,
tomorrow?
I cold plunged. A little bit earlier too, so that's gonna be keeping me up too.
And I have such a busy day tomorrow. Oh my god, this was a mistake.
Don't
caller.
Wow, you really drank that quick.
I chugged it. Caller.
Yes. Hey.
Are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Here's a couple things on our mind. All right. Are you a highly sensitive person? Have you heard that? Do you have any kind of diagnosis that informs how you live your life? That's one. We're also looking for behind the scenes. Do you have a real job, not some Hollywood bullshit?
Yeah,
like a real job.
A real job.
Where you can tell us the ins and outs of behind
but
the scenes.
A real job that would we be interested in knowing? Yeah, because it's like, like if you work at like McDonald's, I'm interested in what the behind the scenes. But if you're like, oh, I work in like a wealth management firm, I'm not interested.
That probably is pretty juicy.
Yeah, but I want to have the thing I relate to. I want to get into the nitty, like a parking lot. Like I'm into that. Like,
I'm fascinated by the world of the valet. I think that would make a great documentary. I've said it before, and I'm saying it again.
Now, can I ask this question?
Yeah.
You have this.
Yeah.
But not
no
on there.
No sound effect. Now, listen, I already asked Kojak, but he hasn't delivered. Kojak hasn't delivered.
Chuck Chunk.
Though he did deliver like 5,000 songs on the most recent episode, I wanted a supercharged gavel sound.
Right.
So you press it and it's like,
oh, whoa.
You know? You know?
Yeah.
He has not delivered that. So I have to say, this is funny to me, the patheticness of how not...
It really is it's unsatisfying.
Like, it almost feels like if a judge ruled you guilty and they went, you'd be like, I don't think I'm actually guilty. Like,
no.
I don't have to go to jail.
This actually sounds worse than like the kid one that has like the...
a horn.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem powerful. I don't know if it's... Yeah, like, and also it bounces. I feel that this part should be weighted.
Can I try this? I mean, I don't want to hurt your table, but...
No,
it needs to be on this.
That just looks like you're playing in your kitchen.
Yeah,
you know,
you're right,
like, this is a gavel.
Well, that's not a gavel. You have to really...
It's crazy, though, how, like, much the bottom part jumps.
Yeah, I
mean,
feel like...
That's nuts.
Do they... By the way, we haven't even gotten to this question.
I know, we haven't...
We haven't even told you.
However you identify, I don't even want to call people sir anymore. These old-timey showbiz terms are now slurs. Okay. We also are interested in ricotta. Okay, cannoli dip.
Oh.
Paul is pro cannoli dip.
Well,
what do you think?
Yes.
Hold on.
Yeah. Well, first of all, let me tell you, I had an issue with the cannoli dip that was represented on the previous show because I felt like it wasn't really the cannoli dip that we deserve. And I'm going to tell you something. As a person who enjoyed...
It definitely wasn't. No. I mean, we agree there. I'm not...
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a person who grew up... I'm Italian. I grew up in an Italian household.
Look, that's why we're both shouting. Also the coffee.
Also why I've not said a single...
Yeah.
We were talking with our hands. You should see how much handwork we're doing. I feel like there's two types of cannoli. One that has like a delicious like inside filling and one that's ricotta. And that is the one that I don't like. The ricotta is disgusting to me. It's like eating cottage cheese.
But what's the good one made out of?
I don't know. It's cream. Sweet
cream. Cheese?
No, it's not cream cheese. It's like a... I don't know. I know that like I've never been more disappointed when my mom, who's a great chef, and for my birthday, she's like, I made you cannolis. And I was like, I'm so excited.
Oh, mascarpone or ricotta.
Okay, it's mascarpone then.
So
it
that's
has
what
to
you
be.
Like.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Although mascarpone, I don't... Well, I'm sure it is.
It's got to be.
Got to be.
It says it's one or the other.
All right, then mascarpone. That's it. Caller, mascarpone or ricotta?
Mascarpone.
Thank you.
I don't know what sound to give
that. I'm iffy on ricotta. Very iffy.
Yeah, it's a gross... I used to get those tubs in the house. Like, remember those like yellow tubs? You ever have that? Mm-mm. Pollen? Okay. So what's up?
But I want to clarify that Paul said he does like ricotta. No, cannoli dip.
I love cannoli dip. And if you get the right cannoli dip, Stu Leonard's cannoli dip is one of the best things. And I will also go to the mat and say that you just have to get... If the filling is good, that's all cannoli dip is. It's just the filling. It's like hummus and pita. You just take the...
You know, when I met you, I never would have imagined. Like, if you were like, you can peek forward at the future, that you'd be screaming at me about cannoli dip in my basement.
This is where we've got to.
We've become so close over the years. Caller, what's your job and do you have any backstory on that or cannolis?
We already know where he stands on cannolis.
We ran that into the ground.
I think that you know, you guys were a bit prescient on the whole sensitivity and profession question.
I'm gonna
conflate them. I'm gonna bring them together because it kind of ties into where I'm at at this precise moment.
Okay.
I would say I am a sensitive person, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And my job is I'm an attorney.
Okay.
Okay.
And I just started a new job as an attorney, and it all happened because of my sensitivity.
Oh.
where literally based, one day somebody just sent me a rude email, and I was like, I don't want to be here anymore, and I left.
I like somebody who does, like, I just want to go into that for a second, because I like anybody who after an email is like, peace. Like, a real, like, you didn't put too much thought into it. You were like, that was the final straw. Like, we always say, like, that's the last straw. But very rarely do we go, that's the last straw and I'm out. It's always
can you,
like,
Can you dig the email up and read it to us? Omitting any names?
I'll just say that, like, I literally was away on vacation. I did all the precautions. I had everybody lined up, like, talk to this person, talk to that person. Yeah. And the person who was emailing me all of a sudden just unnecessarily moved it up the chain, like, got all the bosses involved.
They added more important people to the chain. That's so fucking, that's such bitch shit.
For no reason. And so I called them out on it. And I was like, why did you do that?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You didn't need to do that. And then I get like a text from a recruiter being like, you know, it was so, all of it happened very, you know, serendipitous. Like, I got a text from a recruiter and they're like, do you want to interview for jobs? And I just replied, yes. And then it was over.
Shit. Mic drop.
Bam.
You're just like, yes, I do.
Now, do you think, and I'm appreciative of what you did do, but do you also think that you let the other person win?
You quit when the going got tough.
Yeah, like, or no, like that person tried to screw you over and you're like, I'm out. Like, did that person win? Because I think that you won, but I'm also thinking that that other person thinks that they won.
You know, I don't think they won because, you know, now I'm going into an abyss and I'm not there. And
great, I like it. All right, good. So they went down. They went. Something went down when you left. I like that. All right.
So what do you do now?
I'm still an attorney. I just went to a bigger, better job.
And a sensitive attorney?
I wanted you to be like, I clean toilets. And then it would be that.
That's a sound effect you need to be having on this.
It's copyrighted.
Oh, really?
I guess I could do
No, that isn't. You know, that's a... That's curb,
public domain.
It's a part of the sound effects library. Because I remember when I was scoring one of my shows, I was going through and I was like, oh, this is all the Larry David movie. All the Larry David music is just... in those like music libraries.
No.
Yeah. Of
we course. Gotta get it.
And by the way, of course it is. Because that, like that's so par for the course of like Larry David. He's not having a composer. He's
that
like, nah, yeah,
so
yeah, that's
funny.
It.
Wow. Caller, you're a lawyer. Are lawyers assholes?
You know, I think that there's a bad reputation for lawyers being an asshole.
That would be a yes.
You have to be. You have to be an asshole, right?
You got to get the job.
You got to get the. You got to win those cases. Is Anatomy of the Fall real?
I don't. I mean, I think it just depends on what field you're in. You know.
Okay. Yeah.
You know what? Yeah. You know what? Yes, we're assholes. We're assholes. Let's just put it to bed. We're assholes. 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 We're assholes.
Asshole. 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 Asshole.
You know.
Well, no, but what do you? But. Even if you are fighting for the right thing, you have to be, you have to flip it, right? You have to get in there. You have to win a fight, an argument.
Yeah, you have to be intense and committed to your argument. And also it's like, you know, I learn these lessons all the time where it's like, I kind of will give up a little too easily, you know? So it's like, sometimes I literally have to tell myself, like, I have to stand here and not even leave, you know, like before, you know, I get what is needed. So I guess that can be an asshole sometimes, you know, making people uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right. Thank you. I forgot to mention that iHeartRadio was like, we like it when you hang up on people faster. So get ready for a rapid trigger finger. Caller?
Caller.
Hi.
I have some work secrets.
Oh, whoa. All right. Yeah, let's do it.
Let's get right down. Here we go. Partial. We have to hear what the secrets are.
How did she even know we were talking about work secrets?
I posted it on Instagram.
Okay, great. Okay. I just posted call me.
I understood the assignment. I don't play games.
I didn't. Yeah, I posted it the wrong way. Okay. What do you got?
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
iHeart Podcast Awards 2023 Podcast of the Year, Las Culturistas, with SNL's Bowen Yang and comedian Matt Rogers.
There's stuff happening in 2024 that we really need to address.
Pop culture and huge guests, like the latest episode with
Dua Lipa.
The more I think about it, the more scared and nervous I get.
Listen to the newest episode of Las Culturistas with Dua Lipa and all episodes on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Las Culturistas to start listening.
Well, I was actually just journaling about my first job ever and how it has scarred me for life. So my first job, I had to dress up as a 8-foot-tall cow for an ice cream shop.
Okay.
Casual.
Top secret
and
comes to
my
mind.
My boss and his wife used to watch me on the security cameras from their house. They would always call in and be like, "Why isn't Claire mopping the floors?" Or
as a cow.
Wait a second.
Only when I would work.
Wait. So you had to dress up as an 8-foot-tall cow and then do menial tasks? Like, you weren't out in front spinning a sign?
I would have to do both. I would have to greet the children who also...
Listen, you know what? That's outrageous.
That is outrageous.
Okay, that's me booing my own joke. Okay, wait, so you had to dress up as an 8-foot tall cow?
I would say
cow?
That's utterly outrageous.
Yeah.
You guys are quick. I can see you.
We still don't understand the mechanics of this. You're dressed as a cow mopping?
Were you getting in and out of a costume, or you put on a costume, then you had to do everything?
Both. So they wanted to see my work in and out of a cow costume. Could I scoop ice cream in a cow costume? I used to get kicked by kids, and their parents would be like, "Yeah, get them." Instead of instilling, maybe you don't kick cows on the street, I would just have to kind of take it.
This is a fetish.
I also want to just break down the idea that this is my own thing that no one finds funny but me, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Let's skip it.
All right. So you are a cow scooping ice cream, which means you are scooping your own stuff to give to
Lucky Chicken. Remember that SNL ad? I loved that when I was younger.
See, I have the same issue with M&M's. they're standing around at these parties where people are eating M&Ms and they're talking. And I'm like, are you letting your friends go to slaughter? I don't know.
Right. They should be screaming at the top of their lungs.
So, okay. So the bosses would watch you on a security camera and be like, why are you not doing enough work?
Yes. Yeah. And they would like call in. There'd be no one in the store. It'd be the middle of winter. And it was solely an ice cream shop. And, you know, it would take 10, 15 minutes to kind of lounge on the counter, you know, maybe go on my phone. And as soon as I like would stop working, the boss would call on the phone and I'd see their name and I'd be like, shit. And I'd like grab a rag and go start cleaning.
It's outrageous. Was the costume at least warm for the winter?
Yes, it was warm in the winter and then really hot in the summer. And one of my coworkers once threw up in it and they refused to get it professionally cleaned. So
they refused?
It smelled so bad.
Oh, calm out. What's the name of this place?
Legally, I can't have
It's no longer it's no longer a business, but it's called in Queens.
Wow. We're not going to throw them under the table.
We
by
can.
Name.
They're closed. Queens. They're not even open anymore. Yes. In Queens. I my dad lived in Flushing. I wish I would have gone. I would never have tried to kick you, though.
So it really humbled me. And Chelsea, I do have a food test.
What is it?
It's one and done. Caramelized onions.
I think they're good.
Yes, you're right. I'm so happy. Yay.
What a relief. I mean, I don't know. Who could, I guess, yeah, it seems like one that would be hard to refute.
You know, if I may, I've been eating a caramelized onion almost every morning for the last 6 weeks.
Hold on. Wait a second. Put the brakes on. Because you said caramelized onion. No. You can't.
It's
no,
a condiment, honey, not a breakfast cereal.
Try me. If you try hard enough, you can make anything.
Wait, so you're just like throwing a whole onion in a frying pan in the morning and just like getting it all sugared up?
You tricked us.
I don't put any sugar. I just do olive oil and a little bit of water and salt.
I hung up.
Yeah,
I think iHeart is right. They were like, you know what?
It's fun.
Hang up more. And they're right. I feel free. Hello. Hi, how are you? I'm here with Paul Shear. Uh-oh. I can't have that dog barking.
What's up, dog?
One more bark and it's over.
No, Fran, go away.
Okay. We're talking about behind the scenes, crazy work stories. We're talking about highly sensitive people.
Yes.
What is that? And other diagnoses.
Come on.
We're talking about ricotta and cannoli. And we also are talking about Paul Shear's list. Okay. I asked Paul, what do you want to talk about on the show? This is the list he texted me. What's an appetizer? Okay, I don't even know what that means. What's an appetizer?
What's an appetizer?
Qualifies as an appetizer?
Well, like I'm saying, like sometimes people are like, well, can that be an appetizer? I think it can. Like I think that there's a discussion to be had. Like that could be an appetizer. Like little pieces of steak on a stick is an appetizer.
We should start a group, a chat group called What's Appetizer.
I don't know what I would use it for.
So the other one is silver lining finders. You tell us what's bumming you out and we will find a silver lining.
Yeah,
this is us. Like we're fixers. We have, we're broken from our childhood, fixing our parents' problems.
Yeah, this is it. This is what we do.
And the other one is friend favors. What's too much or the bare minimum we expect from our friends? That's a great one. Do nachos get a bad rap? Okay, the do nachos get a bad rap flew under the radar. I don't even remember reading that one.
I thought that would get...
Nachos are great. Yeah,
but do they get a bad rap? I feel like people often, when you see that as that, people don't want to order nachos for the table. They'll order chips and guac, chips and salsa. Right. People don't want to order nachos.
Adults don't.
I don't really like nachos because like it's too much work. Like you get messy eating it. Like you kind of have to dig for what you want.
That's the thing. You don't know what you're gonna get. Maybe one chip has a lot of cheese. One chip has a lot of. You're going in. It's a different bite. Everything is a different bite.
But I think I want to know what I'm gonna get if I'm gonna eat it.
Well, you know what you're gonna get: cheese and beans, and some jalapenos. Just the ratio will be different.
I had a nacho.
I think the beans is where I'm out.
Oh wow. Okay. Well, then you don't like nachos.
There was a place that did chicken tinga nachos that I was addicted to.
No
longer exists. Never found anything at all similar since.
You know what? I think you'd like that place downtown, that Indian place. It is, Oh, it's very good. It's I'll remember it.
Oh, is it nachos? Okay. The final thing on your list, because I didn't even finish all the topic ideas, is how are our New Year's Eve resolutions doing?
Yeah. How are we doing?
Yeah. Let's check in. How are we doing?
I mean, I didn't even make any because I knew I wasn't going to be able to keep Same. Them. Hold up. So, like, I guess I'm doing great.
Yeah.
You got a lot of options. What are you feeling drawn to?
I think I want to talk about cannolis.
Thank you.
Because so many places, they do cannolis and they do the chocolate drizzle on top. But I just want...
Don't want that.
A regular, you know, ricotta cream inside of whatever the cannoli cookie is. Maybe some chocolate chips either throughout or on the edges, but I'm done with the chocolate drizzle.
How about this? I'll throw out the whole cannoli. I don't like Italian desserts that much.
Neither do I.
Ah, two turncoats.
Do you like those little pieces of those little cookies with the three different colors?
I like them, but I can't say I'm ecstatic about
them. No, I don't need... No, They're Italian good. Desserts are never very good to me.
Yeah.
I feel like when... Oh, Laura.
We hate Italian desserts. What do you think? Are
and
we
you're
wrong?
She's Italian right
Maybe.
Here.
Maybe. We never know because these names are often like someone else pays for
I
the
I am Italian, so okay. What an entrance. You don't like cannolis?
Well, I do. Chelsea doesn't. I say that cannoli is the best, and... The rest, cannoli is the best, and 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 the rest, pinoli cookies, maybe.
Oh, those are good.
I like those, if they're fresh and good.
They're all very dry. Italian desserts are all like to go with coffee or like Marsala or something.
Do you like ricotta cannoli, or do you like a... I think there's two different kinds of cream, right? And Chelsea's saying it's mascarpone, but I don't buy it.
You know what? I have to be honest. I haven't really looked into what the cream consists of in a cannoli. I've always just kind of enjoyed it.
But did you ever have a ricotta? Up. Okay.
Hello.
Jordy.
I know. Stop. I stopped myself from saying the names out loud because people would be like, what do you mean?
Oh, sorry.
That's
sorry.
Not my name. And so then I stopped doing it. But they always in my head, I'm thinking Jordy Rants. Whose name
what?
Is that?
My name.
That is your
hey,
name?
How are you?
Okay.
Hi, Jordy.
Yeah, that's my name. I pay my own phone bill. Yeah. It's
Woo!
Yeah.
What a king.
How's it going?
Good.
It's going good. We are manic. We had some coffee. Yeah. I didn't realize it was like damn near 5 o'clock. Had a coffee. I have a big day tomorrow. I'm a little worried.
What do you got? What's in a Chelsea big day?
Well, tomorrow it's just like three things for press for my movie.
Okay. I'm very excited about this movie.
Thank you. You were helpful to me.
I want to see it so bad. Chelsea, I am like the biggest fan. Like, I cannot wait to see it. I have been following you since the old school days. And it's going to be great.
Who the movie
I'm
is
really
going to be dedicated to?
Is it me? I'm about to cry.
Paul has brought his own sound effects to the podcast. Jordy, can you imagine?
Oh my gosh. So I have things to bring to the table unless there's a topic.
Oh, okay. Great.
So I am curious if I could do a Brazilian food test for you because I live in Brazil. And I have a few things that I'd like to roll through.
Okay.
Açaí.
Oh.
Oh, good.
I don't know. In the first time of the show's history, I don't know.
I think an açaí bowl is like, whenever I have those, I like an açaí bowl.
My question is it always a bowl? Because I only know like the weird LA, like eating disorder version of what açaí is. I don't know what it is in Brazil to eat açaí.
Yeah, it's like it's got granola sometimes if you want. It's got like kiwi, banana. You can put coconut flakes and
I do a little vanilla protein powder in there.
Oh,
So good.
Me too. The way.
Yeah. Great. Come on now.
They do that in Brazil too. The way too. So.
So.
So is it yes or no, Chelsea?
I guess I'll go yes. I mean, here's what my reservation is. When I have tried these bowls, they're too sweet. Too sweet. Too sweet. Too sweet.
Get a scoop of peanut butter in there.
Oh my god! So you know that peanut butter has emerged as a dark, dark theme in the podcast lately, where everyone's favorite snack is just peanut butter.
What are we, dogs?
And Adam Scott came on. We tried Trader Joe's food, and every snack he loves is peanut butter based. And I was just like, it's not that good of a flavor, everyone.
No, I look.
It's a protein mechanism.
I'll take that. I will enjoy a Reese's peanut butter cup, but a Reese's peanut. I don't need to have two. I can't get in there. That's why I'm
that's a whole different thing. And Reese's peanut butter cups are good. Let me be the first to say.
I think that's the best way that peanut butter has ever been served is in a Reese's peanut butter cup.
Well, wow. Have you tried a Reese's stick?
What is it?
It's that the thing.
It's like a Twix bar, but it's got like a wafer. So it's in this. It's a shape of a Twix bar with a wafer center instead of a cookie center.
Here's what I'm going to say. Yeah.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season. And guess what? So are we. Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
iHeart Podcast Awards 2023 Podcast of the Year, Las Culturistas, with SNL's Bowen Yang and comedian Matt Rogers.
There's stuff happening in 2024 that we really need to address.
Pop culture and huge guests, like the latest episode with
Dua Lipa.
The more I think about it, the more scared and nervous I get.
Listen to the newest episode of Las Culturistas with Dua Lipa and all episodes on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Las Culturistas to start listening.
Almost 100% certain that Twix is better than that.
I 100% agree. I agree. I mean, I'm not arguing that.
So that's my thing. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So,
okay. Correct. Okay. Next, chicken heart.
Wow, Yordy.
He's going to say yes. I'm going to say no.
I know. I'm going to say no.
Have you ever had them?
A follow-up question.
I have. I have had a chicken heart.
And you liked it, right?
Yeah. No, I didn't love it. I didn't love a chicken heart.
Okay.
I found it to be chewy. It was just a very chewy piece of meat.
This is the thing with like awful... Not a W-F-U-L, but O-F-F-A-L. Like, body parts, I know they're eaten all over the globe, and probably I could acquire a taste for them and all that.
And why?
But the texture of, like, brain, the texture of, like, you know, the one thing I do like that might be gross to people is, like, chicken gristle.
I see that. I mean, I understand what you're saying.
What'd you say, Yordy?
Sorry, I don't like that very much.
All said to hang up. I'm sorry. You don't like gristle? You're out. Caller, we're doing a lot of rapid fire hang ups, so please don't take it personal. It's a mandate from iHeartRadio. They said, iHeartRadio, hanging up on people almost instantaneously.
Piss off your listeners. We want more of that.
Anyway, do you like chicken gristle?
Do I like chicken what?
Gristle.
Is that what that's like, the neck?
No, that's a gizzard or something like that. No, this is like the fat around the chicken, right? Like that's like a
it's like the when you eat a chicken leg, the white cap on the end of the bone. You ever gnaw on that, honey?
No, I'm not there yet.
Hung up. This is horrible. I don't know if this is okay.
No, I like it.
We're getting way more callers in if we do it this way. Hello. Do you like chicken gristle?
Chicken gristle?
Gristle.
Gristle.
Oh, not really. I'm a vegetarian.
Oh, all right. Man. This is like the old
foreign
days.
Call. Foreign call.
Hello. Where are you calling from? England, Australia, Taiwan? Where are you?
Australia.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, let's throw another call on the Barbie. I know. Can you imagine? Such a good reference.
I've got a work secret thing, if that's what you want. And it's escape room related.
So ooh, I like this. Escape room.
So about eight years ago, maybe roughly, I worked in an escape room, and the person who closed up the night before didn't lock the door properly.
Okay.
And then I also arrived late because I was wrong about what time I was meant to start. So when I got there, the couple who were the first booking of the day had gone inside and treated the entire building as an escape room, going into all different rooms looking for clues, like into someone's office and all different areas in this kind of warehouse. And they'd gathered all these different things. When I arrived, they were like, okay, we think this key is important. We think this thing is a clue. And they were just seeing the entire building as one big
puzzle. God. they absolutely lost their minds. They were in there for 12 hours. They're like interlocking.
Yeah, they were there for maybe like an hour or something, I think.
Well, what I love about that is like that they showed up and they were like, oh, the whole thing is there's not an attendant. We got to go in. And I love that idea because they're right. Like they're like, okay, yeah. Oh, this door's kind of open. That's what they want us to do. Like, I can see themselves talking themselves into it the entire time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It was crazy. And it took a while to sort of bring them into reality and for them to come out.
Oh, right. Because they probably weren't believing you that you're saying it's not an escape room.
How do you gauge when to give someone a hint or not? I'm into escape rooms now. I don't know if you're aware of that or not, but
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Are you?
Yeah, I like it.
You seem like you would be.
But I can't find anyone to do it with me. Like, that's the tricky thing, is my wife is not going to
do it. Really? June wouldn't do it? Come on, June.
June thought where I brought her for our anniversary was an escape room. And it was just a nice hotel. Like, because it was like this kind of like boutique-y hotel. Like, like in this weird area. And it had like, it was very old-fashioned. She's like, all right, I'm out. And I'm like, no, it's a hotel. She's like, no, it's not. I know it's an escape room. She literally was like, she's like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to play this game. And I'm like, it's not. Like, I was in the same situation having to convince her it was not an escape room.
That doesn't bode well for that hotel.
I know.
Their decor.
It was a little Walt Disney, like, haunted mansion.
One time we went to, well, this is going to be a boring story. Anyway, sir, what did you do? Did you ban them for life or how did you handle it?
No, they hadn't done anything wrong. I guess the reason this is sort of a work secret theme story is because I felt bad about being late. being late.
So. It's not really a work secret. It's more of a, it's more of just a funny story that happened at work.
That is funny though. You're late, so people run through every escape room thinking it's all an interlocking world.
But I think I didn't tell my bosses at the time, even though they were really nice and probably would have been okay with it. I think that's the secret part, because I felt bad about being slightly late. And
we'll distort your voice.
And the whole thing, and I'm sure they probably would have.
Yeah. All right. Cut it. yeah, I do love escape rooms. I need, if you have a good rec, I'm looking for a new one.
Ooh.
I'm scared of, like, I don't want to do the escape rooms where it's like you're in a cage and someone's
No,
bleeding.
I want that.
The
no,
scary
no.
escape rooms, it's
no,
like,
no.
that's too much.
No, I like a smart, fun one. There's just some good ones. I'll show you what I got.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a good podcast about escape rooms.
Really? Oh, God. Yeah. God.
Yeah, I mean, then you
there's podcasts about fucking everything, huh?
There's a good one this guy, Darren Bozeman, does. It's not even an escape room. It's like a horror experience. Mm-mm. And I went to one that was like an adult, slightly adult, because I saw like...
No, thank you. 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 No, thank you.
An adult horror experience. I'm like,
well,
no.
It was like, it was this weird room. Like, I went twice, and the second time I went, I was brought up into this room where like people were like kind of fucking, and I was like, ugh. But not
what?
Yeah, but not like
like
they weren't
fake
nude.
Fucking as characters.
Yes.
Oh, weird.
And then they did like a thing where the guy was like came and then like touched me, and I was
ew,
like, ugh.
That's not fun.
No.
You know, I did one escape room with Moshe that had a live actor in it, and it was really funny. Like, it was downtown somewhere. Yeah. I think it closed because I tried finding it. And it was like you're in some old lady's mansion and you're trying to have, you're at a dinner party, and every time she leaves the room, you're trying to hunt for clues.
That's great.
But they're like, you have to be in your same seats when she comes back. And
oh,
so
that's super fun.
It was
fun.
Really fun, yeah. Caller?
Hi.
Hi.
You like escape rooms?
You know, I've only ever been to one.
Okay.
I guess that sort of
answers the question. You didn't like it that much.
Oh, but you, the thing I don't like about escape rooms is it seems like you need a lot of people to go, right? Or can you just do two? You need like about three or four.
I don't know.
Let me tell you this. Me and Jordan started this Sherlock Holmes mystery thing.
Okay.
Like, it's just like you get literally like the case laid out for you. You have a map.
Oh.
Have you done this?
Well, I got... For June, for her birthday, I got her a cold case file.
Yeah, it's kind of like that, but like set in the Sherlock Holmes world.
Yeah.
Multiverse?
I love it.
I don't know.
Spider-Man teams up with Sherlock Holmes. Yeah.
So it was like a map of London, a directory of contacts.
Okay.
Anyway, we couldn't solve it. We still have to finish it. But we're literally like reading newspapers, calling, going up and, you know, following leads, going all over this fucking map of London. And I'm like, I feel like we have no idea who killed this man.
Well, that is the cold case file I gave June, is about a high schooler who was killed. Mm. And you got to figure
out. It's real?
No.
Oh.
I mean, I think. I hope it's
because
not.
People like, you know, like so many. I'm so late to everything. I'm always like this very late adopter of things, technology, but then I get addicted.
Yeah.
So, you know, everyone loves true crime podcasts and stuff. So I finally I went to Santa Barbara and I listened to one on my drive home. And now it's like I get the appeal. It's like you're like, if I just think about this enough, I'm going to figure out who murdered this person.
Well, then it becomes this like thing. Like, I'm in a weird zone where I'm open to the suggestion that Scott Peterson did not kill Lacey Peterson based on these podcasts I've listened to.
But then, I don't even know this case well. I just think that's a hilarious zone to be in.
Because it was the media really made it like that Scott Peterson killed his wife, pregnant wife, and that's what we, and he went to jail.
Is this the one Rob Lowe played?
I think he might
in
have.
Like
yeah.
a Lifetime
movie? Yes,
okay.
And so... But then there's been some evidence. But then I have another friend who said, you can't think that. Here's some other evidence. It's tricky. It's tricky to get on. But he is getting a new trial.
Mm-hmm.
New trial.
Interesting.
So, I mean, if a judge can have it, then, you know, we'll see.
You know, the one I really thought I could solve was that little girl that was in, like, the beauty pageants.
Oh, JonBenet.
Yeah. That one.
Did they figure that one out?
I was pacing the floorboards at night after watching a couple of things on that, and I'm like, okay, so it had to be like I really felt it was within reach.
It's
that,
the brother. It has to be the brother.
Yeah, she ate his favorite snack. Right.
Yeah. Right. I feel like that's like. Oh, man, you know,
he smeared fecal matter all over the place, blah, blah, blah. But then there was also like
her skull hole was the same shape as the mag light flashlight. So it was like the flashlight that had his fingerprints on it.
Solved.
Thank you, caller. Hang up. This way, everyone gets to contribute.
Yeah, it's great. It's more fun.
It's more democratic, but it's also more dictatorial.
But it's also like you get out on a high.
Dictatorial?
Dictatorial.
Is that a word?
Maybe it's
dictator-like?
Yeah.
Dictatorial? Oh. Yeah. Hi. Oh.
And then I hang up. That was his input.
Yeah, that would have been great.
That would have been amazing.
Thank you.
Hope you don't have a dog. If a dog barks, we are going to hang up on you.
Yeah.
No, I just have a cat. He doesn't bark.
All right.
If I hung up because I don't like cats. Oh!
Another great moment.
I was talking to my friend my friend has OCD, and I was asking him, like,
how bad?
Well, a lot of comedians have OCD, is what I'm learning.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that intrusive thoughts is part of it. Because.
But don't we all have intrusive?
That's
aren't thoughts intrusive?
So this is what I was saying. Yeah. But
I agree.
Yeah, because I go all the time. I'm like literally 5 times I've thought of hanging up on you, like, you know, but, you know, all the time I think, like, what if I just veered my car and hit this person?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Intrusive thoughts. That's thinking.
I mean, if you're going to do it, can you at least play the sound effect?
This one? But anyway, I was like, isn't that just like a comedian's mind? Like, what if I did this? Wouldn't it be funny?
Right.
But he was saying, like, no, it's like more extreme to where, like, if he sees a steak knife, he's like, what if I stab my boyfriend in the leg with it, to the point where he doesn't order steak?
Oh, no.
Oh. Oh, no. Ooh. That's rough. Yeah, that's right? That may be more than just like OCD.
That's something you should talk to a health professional about, probably.
Yeah, that's not OCD. I feel like that. I feel like a lot of people are out there misdiagnosing themselves. That's not OCD.
No, but I think it might be. I don't know. But then I'm like, well, then should I get... This is where we're talking about, like, diagnosing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
sure.
I'm like, well, am I OCD? Because I do feel like I care so much about things. Is that OCD? I just feel like I want
to. No, I think that there's levels of a lot of different things. You're talking about being an emotional person. You care about, like, do you care about people, or do you care about how people view you, or do you care a lot about, like, are you thinking about, like, purely your family stuff?
Just, like, everything. Like, I care more about everything than most people I encounter, and that's been since I was a kid. Like, at school, like, I just feel like, you know, when I was in the car reading about highly sensitive people or whatever. And it was saying that 20% of people are, you know, but it's not actually, I don't think, even a real thing, but it said 20% of people are it.
Okay. It's like, so 20% of people are highly sensitive.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but that is like, you know what?
I don't think you can be. Because you couldn't get on stage,
you're like,
right?
You're highly a bitch.
No. Because then I think if you would get on stage, it would be too overwhelming. Because you'd be looking at too many people.
But I think it has different manifestations. Okay. Like, it was saying, like, for some people, it's like loud sounds are overwhelming.
That's a June thing.
Yeah. Like, you have to retreat.
Sorry to interrupt.
No,
but
please.
Isn't that overwhelming for everyone? Don't you get, like, disturbed if all of a sudden something goes off right behind you? Yeah, exactly.
Do you feel anything?
Or me, for instance, butting in on the conversation.
But that's also autistic.
Mm. Maybe I'm autistic.
Mm.
Get diagnosed.
What if I was? I mean, it's just kind of crazy, right? Like, I just keep going, what if everyone just, like, what if...
Well, look, I will say that I just went on vacation with my family. We're having a great day. Everything is going perfectly. And then I get depressed because I'm like, well, when is this going to end?
Yeah.
What's going on? Something terrible is going to happen.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Stadtsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. you'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season. And guess what? So are we. Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a six-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
iHeart Podcast Awards 2023 Podcast of the Year, Las Culturistas, with SNL's Bowen Yang and comedian Matt Rogers.
There's stuff happening in 2024 that we really need to address.
Pop culture and huge guests, like the latest episode with
Dua Lipa.
The more I think about it, the more scared and nervous I get.
Listen to the newest episode of Las Culturistas with Dua Lipa and all episodes on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Las Culturistas to start listening.
Yeah.
And that to me, like, that's an intrusive thought.
No, that literally was an example in this highly sensitive person thing. Oh, now I just have Stu Leonard's cannoli dip open on my phone.
I'm going to see what Stu Leonard's cannoli dip is made out of.
I looked it up when you mentioned it, and yeah. Now I'm like, wait, I had my highly sensitive people. Okay, so one other thing I thought it said that was interesting, this is on Very Well Mind. It says...
Oh, this is Stu Leonard's cannoli dip is one of their best sellers on New Year's Eve.
That we're jumping between cannoli dip and highly sensitive people. We should do simultaneous monologues.
All right. Oh, this is, tells you how to make it, I think.
Okay, good.
Right, I'm going to figure this out.
Okay.
This has been the most confusing conversation to just drop in on, but I love everybody.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much. So, Chelsea.
Are you leaving?
This is with ricotta, but it's a different ricotta. This is milk starter and salt, confectionery sugar. Oh, maybe that's what I'm looking for. Vanilla powder and salt. Okay. Maybe there's different kinds of ricotta.
Okay.
Ricotta. That's what my grandma calls it. Ricotta. Get some ricotta.
I like that you're vamping with this right now because I really am trying to find something.
No,
thing that was interesting, this is verywellmind.com. It says, research also shows that a lack of parental warmth growing up may cause a child to develop high sensitivity.
But believe me,
what's your trauma, Paul?
Oh, I wrote a whole book. My book is called Joyful Recollections of Trauma. Comes out this May.
I've already pre-ordered. I guess.
Yes. Wow. Thank you.
What do you think Paul's trauma is?
I mean, if I've listened to his podcast for years, there's a lot going on from the sounds of it.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I think when I sat down to write the book, more things came into focus than I even realized.
Repressed memories?
Not even repressed memories, but like when you put it all down, like because I was like I was very intent on going, if I'm writing a book, I don't want to just do like a bunch of anecdotes. I wanted to tell I wanted to make it like book worthy and then kind of having to not make it just funny.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, there's some stuff. There's some stuff. But I think you're right. I think that like when you see issues around you, I think that sensitive people. I mean, but I don't think that only 20% of people are sensitive.
Highly sensitive.
Highly sensitive. Well, what's the difference?
I'm so annoyed that I can't find the paragraph that spoke to me as I'm scrolling through this, but basically it was saying it actually could correlate with like survival.
Here's okay. I'm going to give you the test. Can I give you the highly sensitive person test?
Oh yeah, this is good. But cite, I think cite where you're getting it from.
Okay, mypersonality.net.
Hold on.
All right.
Okay.
You prefer a step-by-step approach. Agree or disagree?
Disagree.
Okay. Agree.
Agree. Well, I can't do you both.
Caller, fuck off. Hold on. I'm hanging up.
I'm still.
You're a pretty moody person.
Yeah.
You're a confident and outgoing person most of the time.
I don't know how to exactly.
I think, yeah, I'm going to say yes.
Okay,
for you.
Fine.
You prefer working alone?
No.
Disagree. Okay. You're able to stay on track after your plans become disrupted.
No, that's hard for me. That's really hard.
Okay. So, disagree. You tend to remain cool, calm, and collected under pressure.
I can, but not always.
Well, that's what you got to tell me.
Like, I mean, for example, directing my movie, I felt pretty collected considering how challenging
that's
it is.
All right. That's good. You're comfortable discussing unusual and controversial topics?
Yes.
Okay.
Sometimes.
This is too many questions. Too
hard.
Many questions. It's yeah, okay. You enjoy a good argument or debate.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to get in there. This is you could take this whole test.
But a lot of these I could go either way.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think sometimes you have to okay, here it is.
Okay.
Is it highly sensitive, autism, or ADHD? This is the thing. All right, so
this is the master test.
Yes, so this is the overlap is sensory sensitivity.
Okay.
Value driven.
Okay.
Deeply impacted by emotional tone.
These all seem right.
This is like, yeah, this is deep procrastination or deep processing.
Which?
Oh, sorry, it was deep processing.
Both, I agree with.
Big emotions.
Yeah.
Anxiety when adjusting to new context.
Mm-hmm.
Slow to warm up to new changes.
Mm-hmm.
Sensitive.
No, I don't know. Not always.
Okay, so this you're right in the middle of autistic and highly sensitive, which might be ADHD.
This gives no information.
Yeah, I mean, they have this cool graph right there.
Let me tell you, because I took Myers-Briggs, which I have talked about at length on this podcast, but I was between introvert and extrovert.
Okay.
Between thinking and feeling.
See, I wanted to write a whole chapter in my book called An Introverted Extrovert.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like I want to be alone a lot, but then I also want to be out with the people.
Well, don't you feel like entertainment is kind of perfect for that? Because you're like in a huge crowd on a set with tons of people, and then you're just alone.
And go back to your trailer.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is interesting. This is highly sensitive or autistic. And then there's a middle ground.
Okay.
So I think this is going to be you.
Okay.
You
think I'm half autistic?
No, I think that you are in between both, which is you have easily overstimulated. A rich inner life?
Yeah, of course. Imagine not having a rich inner life.
Well, do you prefer meaningful conversation about shared interests versus small talk?
Yes.
This is...
What does that make you?
This makes you in the middle.
A human being. Who wants to have small talk? Who's like, I love small talk?
I know, some people do. Some people...
But they're the sick ones.
All right. And then, like, this is autistic. Do you... Oh, I should keep on saying.
Autism kicking.
Yeah. Are you anxious when competing or being observed completing a task?
Yes.
Time pressure is perceived as stressful?
Yep.
You are highly sensitive.
Yeah.
This is it. You're highly sensitive because everything. Yeah. Okay. You're highly sensitive.
Yeah. But it's like that's apparently not even a thing. It's
highly
just,
sensitive.
Well, that article that I was reading was saying like it's not really.
That's not a...
this verywellmind.com article. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I can't wait.
That's it. Said that it's a neurodivergent individual who's thought to have an increased or deeper central nervous system sensitivity to physical, emotional, or social stimuli.
Okay.
The term was first coined by psychologists Elaine Aaron and Arthur Aaron in the mid-90s. Hex. Already suspect. The 90s?
The 90s, come on.
A 90s
come on.
Fucking label? You get a free power bar when you're diagnosed. Anyway, I do avoid violent movies. I am deep. This is their list. Being deeply moved by beauty. Yes, I am.
Wow.
Overwhelmed by sensory stimuli. Yes, I hate crowds. Literally.
Really?
Avoid crowds like nobody's business.
Ooh.
However, if I have VIP type of treatment in which I can have access to a bathroom,
Yeah, I can do
and
that.
And space.
Yes, space is important.
Then I'm fine with crowds.
Are you aware of the subtleties around you?
We have competing lists. I am aware of the subtleties around me, I guess. I don't even know what that means, really.
Well, you're like kicking in like, oh, that person doesn't like that person. That's an energy.
Oh, my God. Time is racing
okay.
past.
All right. Sorry.
Okay. Feeling a need for downtime, but who doesn't?
Yeah.
Having a rich and complex inner life, like you're just walking around like, duh! You don't hear nothing. Listen, watching Love is Blind. Are you watching?
I am watching pieces of it.
The hell does that mean?
Well, June is watching it and I come in. I'm watching Bosch right now.
I need to have June on this podcast, okay? That's my girl. I need June.
I can talk about it a little bit, I think, maybe.
Well, anyway, the only point I was going to actually make is just that sometimes when I'm watching couples talk, I'm like, wow, so this is what dumb people talk like.
Oh, well, those shows are the worst because it's like they always are talking about talking. Like, I feel like, you know, it's like, hey, you said that thing. Like, I was watching that one episode where it was like, the argument was so stupid. It was like, she wore makeup. That thing, did you watch that? Where he's like, I just didn't like that you wore makeup.
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, that's like. That's
is that toward the end or the beginning?
Well, they're still in the middle of the season, right? Because every episode is Wednesday.
I'm all caught up, so I must have just somehow.
Yeah, because it was like this whole thing. It's like, you just wore makeup, and it really just made me upset. And she's like, well, I didn't know, and I'm sorry. And he's like, you just wore makeup. I don't know what's going on with you.
Are you sure this is this season?
I know it's a season. I think.
Well, what a disaster. I don't remember that. Look at this person's name.
Police Gina.
How is that possible?
Is this you?
Hello?
Yes. Yes.
Did you make your name? Paul wants me to hang up instantly. Did you make your name Police Gina?
My name is Gina Polici.
Oh! Gina Polici!
What do you think about cannoli?
Crazy. Police Gina. I thought you were a super fan.
I do not care for cannoli.
Wow.
Sorry. Is that a big thing?
No, it's not a deal. It's not a deal breaker in our household, but we're just talking about, you know.
What other Italian desserts are you into?
Oh my God. That is awful. Never bring your own sound effect board. That's the lesson on that one. Okay, wait.
I don't like
Hold
that
on.
One.
I almost knocked my knee on. Okay. We're talking about a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But one of the ones I think is.
Sorry.
One of the ones that I particularly think is interesting we're talking about right now is highly sensitive people. Have you heard of this?
HSP?
Highly sensitive people. Is that people who, like, their feelings are hurt a lot?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. But it's more of a disorder.
No, it's not.
It is. It is. Look it up. HSP. You can either be, some people think, oh, am I autistic? Or do I have HSP?
I don't think it is a disorder, and neither is autism. Being on the spectrum isn't like disorder.
That's not
okay. Neurodivergent. I think the language around all this has shifted to be a bit more acknowledging that most people are on the spectrum some way or another, and also that it can be
that.
A gift.
I mean, by the way, I don't think that. I mean, that's yeah. I mean,
let's use this as a clip. Okay.
I thought you guys were talking about work.
Oh, we were.
But it went off the rails. Now we're in this other place.
Speaking of divergent, topic divergent. Okay. No, do you have a work story behind the scenes?
Well, it's just that I made a major work, like, career shift. I used to be a therapist. And then I quit working for a long time because I have a bunch of kids. And now I went back to work. And I'm doing something completely entry level, and it's just, and I'm almost 50, and it's just really weird to be.
What is
my age?
What's the new thing you're doing?
Oh, I'm working in a theater box office.
Oh,
from a therapist to a theater box office. This is kind of what you like to see, like from the lawyer to the guy who works in. Well, he went to become a lawyer, but we wanted him to go like work at another flop. Wait, what theater do you work at? Or what kind of theater?
Connecticut. Oh, it's just like, it's a performance venue for music and comedy and all that kind of stuff.
So, okay, you're 50 years old. You've made a career change. This is, I think, common right now because I think the pandemic kind of shook up a bunch of people's lives. Did it play a role in any way? Were you sick of giving therapy to people who are losing their minds in the pandemic?
Well, I did a specialized kind of therapy for people with severe personality disorders, and it just
wait a minute.
Wait. This is were we just talking?
Okay, wait. Do you think I have a severe personality disorder?
First of all, I cannot believe I got the jackpot. This is like the highlight of my life. Second of all, no, I don't. I mean, I don't know you personally, right. So I couldn't say.
Diagnose her.
Never. No, I think you have a great personality. I love your personality.
Aww. Do you think she's an HSP?
You're probably a highly sensitive person. Are you also a tetrachromat?
What? What's that?
It's not really related to a personality. It's a person who can see more nuance in colors. Like,
oh yes, I've heard about this.
Like what?
Yeah. You know, like, I might look at something that somebody else is saying, that's pink. And I'm going, well, it's not really pink. It's kind of, you know, more yellow than, you know, whatever. It's just like a person who can perceive a right. lot more color. It's not important.
You know, it is important. You're right on the money here. This is what we need. We need a professional to analyze our personalities.
I like this a lot. I want to give you a color test right now.
Let me tell you, though, while you're looking for that.
Yes. I'm ready to go.
One thing is, every time I am talking about a color I like that's blue, to me, people are like, that's gray. That's one thing.
Yeah.
Second of all,
there's a lot of blue and gray.
Yeah. So I also.
The dress thing.
A what?
The dress thing, right?
No. I'm talking about like paint colors, actually. But okay. Yeah, the dress was a whole different thing, wasn't it? Because it was like an optical illusion or something.
I don't think it was an optical. What was that, Gina Polisi?
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
iHeart Podcast Awards 2023 Podcast of the Year, Las Culturistas, with SNL's Bowen Yang and comedian Matt Rogers.
There's stuff happening in 2024 that we really need to address.
Pop culture and huge guests, like the latest episode with
Dua Lipa.
The more I think about it, the more scared and nervous I get.
Listen to the newest episode of Las Culturistas with Dua Lipa and all episodes on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Las Culturistas to start listening.
I mean, I don't know. And also that whole like Yanny Laurel thing. That was so bizarre. I could not believe that anybody heard whatever the thing was that I wasn't hearing. And same thing with the dress. I don't know. It probably has something to do with like cone receptors in our eyes. Who knows?
Okay, so I played this board game this weekend that
you guys are doing a lot of fun stuff.
Tons of
I know. We should link up.
Yeah, I know. I really like
Listen,
this.
Listen, I've always tried to kind of be friends with Paul and June, but never really got much of a nibble.
Well,
I was wondering about that. We don't go.
I just always felt like me and June and Casey should be buddies, and I mean,
like it would be a lovely connection. Yeah.
But listen, those two, it's like a fortress. You can't get in.
Oh my gosh. You know what it is? It's like, I don't think we even do that much. I mean, our lives are basically just like going to basketball games and like kids and soccer games.
Right, right. But listen, I do think that my interests right now are really fruitful for new friendships.
I feel ceramics. Like they are. Ooh, interesting. You and Seth Rogen.
Yeah, but I don't make, you know, phases. Stuff like that.
Okay, all right. What are you making?
I'm making like, you know, vases and folk art and creatures and whatever.
All right, all right. Creatures.
Yeah.
All right. I like
kind of. I made a necklace, like pendants. I'm just trying all kinds of stuff.
All right, take a look. See, this is your color sensitivity. Here
we go. Identify which color below is the same color as the one inside the box. Okay. Well, you know, I also want to take that super tester.
What's
taster.
That?
Test. I have to order that from Amazon.
Wait,
okay, the one that's the same. I think it is. Oh, this is hard.
Gina, talk to me about that, because I think maybe I misread it when I said there is personality disorder not a thing anymore.
Last.
You got to click it.
Oh,
you got to take a couple of these. What take a couple. This is, oh. Let's see if you're sensitive. I don't think she's sensitive, by the way. She's looking at this.
Personality disorders are a thing.
They are.
I just think the whole idea of the spectrum is kind of more where it's at. That
got it. So it's sort of like
spectrum of everything.
We all have a personality disorder, but it's like where we are. Like it's sort of like we are all on the same rainbow. Some of us are over here. Some of us are over here, and that's the whole thing. We're all on the road. But some of us we're weighted in different directions.
And the whole disorder thing. I hope we move away at some point from thinking everything is a disorder, an illness, a malfunction, because you don't see anybody who you go, oh yeah, that person's just totally normal. Not on any
right.
Spectrum.
So like we are equating something. There's a false equivalency that there's a normal and there's no normal.
Yeah.
I like that.
Correct.
Now we're going to find out whether or not Chelsea is going to have her color, where her sensitivity color is. Now you work at a comedy music venue. Are you happy with this new life
Look,
choice?
Paul's eliminated me as a host. He's
put I'm letting
me,
you do your show.
Listen, he's literally put me on a screen like a child and now taken over my podcast. He already brought his own fucking soundboard and now he's truly eliminated
I'm just
my
letting,
voice.
I want to see if you could do the color test. This is going to be important for us and the show to find out. So what
brought
funny thing happened?
Your own soundboard? That is...
Isn't
that is diagnostic.
Yeah, that
Gina, you said there is nothing. I'm just a one side. I'm on the soundboard spectrum.
JK.
That is hilarious.
I do have a
so
Can I
so
give
accurate.
You a I think you should get a sound effect that I have is it goes like this. Bazinga. I think you need a bazinga.
Absolutely not. Not in my character in the slightest to have a bazinga.
You are definitely, it would be so much fun, a little bazinga.
Oh, this is hard.
See,
and it's long.
Sorry.
Okay, wait.
These tests are too long. We need to have like a 4-question test, diagnose.
I know. You know that this is just fucking probably, you know that a lot of these things you're just feeding AI? Like you're just giving AI data. So that it knows.
Well,
how...
I won't make you do it. I won't make you do
no,
it.
No, I mean, now I want to know if I've seen these colors. This is how they get you.
What funny thing happened to you?
Me?
Yeah.
What funny thing happened to me?
Or is there a funny secret that you have about working at this this job, this new job?
Oh, no, no. The only thing I was going to say about working is like, it's very, and by the way, I am not 50. I'm closing in on 50.
We don't really distinguish. Like to me, literally, first of all, I just had a birthday. I forget how old I am already.
Me too. And then people get on my case like, tell me how old you are. I'm like,
I'm blotting it out because basically as soon as I was 28, I'm like, it's over. I'm 30.
Yeah.
And now I think I'm nearing 50. I'm like, all right, I'm some old hag. Like it's all just.
I let it all drop out. Just like, let it go. Like, but everyone's intent on telling me how old I am. I'm like, why do you care? I don't care that much. Just live.
But you guys are not, I don't think, well, tell me, are you in a position anymore where people who are 22 have like a position above you?
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I think we are. I think that we are in a world where we could be directed by somebody very young like that. We have to work with people who are young like that. You know, that's that. You know, Hollywood, it's all by the young people, right? I mean, come on, this is it. The young people come in, they tell us what to do, and then if we agree with them, we get to stay in Hollywood. If we disagree, they kick us out. They get us out of there, like Chaz Palminteri.
So, like, what's your decorum? How do you, like, what do you do when a 22-year-old is telling you something that you know is completely wrong, but your job is to say, okay, that's
if
true.
They're your like, boss, right? They're your boss.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I can say that I've listened to people who are older than me be completely wrong, and you just listen to them and you go, okay, hey, as long as you're paying the pay, you know, like as long as you're writing the checks, right? I mean, there's like, because like that's the same thing. It's like, why do we put more respect on the older? I talk to my parents sometimes. They say things that are completely wrong. I just go, huh? Got it. Like you just listen and, you know, right? But it feels worse when it's with a younger. Like you feel like, oh, I know more than you, right? You feel like you should have that status. But I think
it's not even that I feel like I know more than them. It's that they feel, it seems like they think I know nothing.
See a duck, what do you say?
Of course.
Well, you don't know. I'm colorblind too. So I have a very low color sensitivity.
Really?
I'm a little colorblind.
What colors can't you see?
I don't know. I mean, I can see that's red, but Juno always makes fun of me. I can't see like the subtleties of certain colors. So I'm like,
I mean, this will never end, this test that Paul gave me to eliminate me from my podcast. Yeah. Wait, what was your question, you 50-year-old? You nearly 50-year-old?
She wanted to say, can you take a note from a 20-year-old? Like if I came in here.
Of course.
There you go. That's what I said.
Of course.
All right. Good. No, you guys are right.
But
you guys
we're,
are right.
Listen,
I need to give everybody more of a chance.
We're in a business that young people are God.
That's what I
was
saying.
So, of course,
yeah.
We're going to listen to them. We need those paychecks to keep rolling in.
We want to be in bottoms, too.
Listening, Paul just gave exactly. That exact answer.
Gina Polisi.
I love you guys. You're the best.
She's wrapping
Kelsey,
it up.
You literally
she's hanging up on us?
My at. No, I'm not hanging up on you.
Don't you dare. Paul almost hung up on you. He's taking over from every angle. Okay, tell me. He's going to be. Look, I'm going to go out of here and his car is going to be somehow in my garage and I'm going to be on the street. Okay, wait. Were you winding up with a question?
No, she's saying good. Thank you.
No, I just wanted to say thank you. You literally saved my life.
Whoa.
I had postpartum depression 3 times. Both of you listening to your podcast, listening to your specials, like honestly was so important for me. So thank you.
Well, thank you. I mean, listen, on a serious note, then I wanted to say something funny. I was like, do I have a fart sound effect? No, but on a serious note, I do literally, as a highly sensitive person, that's what I think is so amazing about comedy, is that it helps people. It helps people get through things. And I'm not trying to be self-aggrandizing. It helps me when I'm watching funny things.
I agree with you. I think that's exactly what it does. And so thank you. And I'm so happy I got the jackpot.
But wait,
I never talked to you before, Paul. And I can't believe you're not friends with Jude and Paul. And
can David. You imagine? Like, I'm like, oh, pickleball. I'm into pickleball. I'm into escape rooms. June's not, though. But I think they should embrace me as a friend. Okay. I need you to.
Sorry. Get back in.
Okay, wait. But please, before you go, diagnose us.
Yeah.
Do we have anything aside from narcissism? That's a given. In this business, in this town, that's a given. But is there anything else? Do you think I could be autistic? Paul thinks so. Paul thinks I am.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Not even a little bit? Not a little bit.
No, dude. What I think is, like, you guys have personalities. I mean, that's a lot of, I don't know. There is sort of like a generalization of personality sort of in the age of the internet, monoculture, all that stuff. Like,
wow.
I really appreciate having a bold stance, a bold take, a real personality, like something that makes you unique.
I like it. Gina Polisi, Netflix is now on Sorry, Brooklyn Nine-Nine is now on Netflix, and you can see Gina play a police person.
But I'm not even a cop on the show, but I am policey because I work in the precinct. Okay, bye. But listen, all much right, love to you. Call back anytime if you change your mind and you do think
that
we're
you can diagnose us.
Yeah, if you think I'm diagnosable at any time, call. I need some help. I need, like, solutions.
I will.
Okay, bye.
I love you guys.
Bye.
Love ya. Okay, this has been long. Sorry. You're the final caller. Can you give meaning to this podcast?
Yes, I'll try. Hi, Chelsea. Is Paul still there?
I'm here. How are you?
Hi, Paul.
Hi.
I'm doing well.
And I see from your name on the screen, your name is Wireless. That's an interesting name. Wireless caller. That's
I have bad news.
Yeah.
My color vision score is 65 out of 100. And it says... color is not your area of expertise. and then it goes in smaller font, maybe you're more sensitive to sound. Like, is that supposed to be like a consolation?
So this whole, just so you know, this whole episode, Chelsea believed that she was sensitive to color. We just did
No, I didn't. First of all, I didn't.
You said
that
I'm
lady,
very sensitive.
That fucking 50-year-old implied I might have color sensitivity because I was questioning if I'm a highly sensitive
person. And then you literally said,
let go of my gavel.
Yeah,
like, God. Paul brought, like, he's moving in.
I'm excited. This is great. All right. So what are you calling about?
Yeah. And how do you make this podcast mean something? On the count of, actually, after the drum roll, imbue this moment, this call, and this podcast. You're going to be the Jerry Springer. You're going to give the final moment. You're going to give the reflection, having not heard the podcast, of what this podcast means.
Okay.
After the drum roll.
I have an incredible story about poop. Really good gossip.
Okay. That was your cue. That was your cue. You missed your cue.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Give it to you one more time.
Okay.
At the end of the drum roll, announce something.
Chelsea, I love you.
Well, that's as good a way to end as any. You know what? Love makes the world go round.
Amen. From a highly sensitive person. That is the truest statement you could possibly
ever
make.
All we want is love, as me and Paul are both highly sensitive people. You know, I don't know if you are. You didn't share your diagnosis with me, but I want it off the air.
All right, I'll tell you. I'll tell you all about
so,
it.
So, anyhow, Joel Sullivan.
Jay Sullivan.
Joel
Soul.
You're a Joel Soul. All right, listen,
that's
this has
Doctor
to end.
Sullivan.
Whoa!
not like a real doctor. Like,
hold on. Say it again. Say it again. Say, actually, I'm a doctor.
Actually, I'm a doctor.
Hmm.
Oh, wait, you for the hit.
He don't belong here.
Actually, you kind of do belong here. Because we are trying to get people to diagnose us with personality disorders.
What kind of doctor are you?
Oh. Yeah, what are you?
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
iHeart Podcast Awards 2023 Podcast of the Year, Las Culturistas, with SNL's Bowen Yang and comedian Matt Rogers.
There's stuff happening in 2024 that we really need to address.
Pop culture and huge guests, like the latest episode with
Dua Lipa.
The more I think about it, the more scared and nervous I get.
Listen to the newest episode of Las Culturistas with Dua Lipa and all episodes on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Las Culturistas to start listening.
Well, yeah, I'm not a real doctor. I'm just a veterinarian.
Oh, but if
that'll,
but if,
look, so that'll
I could,
do.
Like, I could diagnose your dog with a mental disease.
Has a convict ever knocked on your door at 2 a.m. and be like, I've been shot, and you have to like take out their bullet and give them dog pills to get through it, like on Bosch?
You know, it hasn't happened yet, but I do live in like the inner city, so
inner city. What a crazy place to be, the inner city, not the outer city.
Inner city.
Yeah.
Inner city.
Boom, booze. There's booze and bottles crashing around in the city. Fuck
Damn
you!
Yeah.
Out of my way!
Come over to the vet, he'll fix you up.
Hey, watch where you're going, you big galoot. The city, the inner city.
City.
Well, here. So the thing is, I'm a mobile veterinarian, so I keep all my supplies in my and so I have to be very careful of who I tell that I have things like ketamine and opioids just in a safe in my closet. But I guess you and all your podcast fans will know that now too.
Where's your
yummy. I had to take fentanyl when I was in my childbirthing situation. And let me tell you, I was like, I don't drink or do drugs. I don't want it. And they're like, I think you should take it. And then I took it. It was like, oh.
Wow, that's a good voice.
Thank you.
It's really impressive.
It was
so good.
Incredible. I truly understand the allure. Having
I don't know if I've had fentanyl, but I had to take
don't do it though
after surgery, and I was like, I was the same way. I was like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, so don't.
I messed up my back on set, or I messed up my back at home just picking up something from the floor. I could barely walk, and when I got to set, every single person on set gave me a pill of something, and it was
really
too overwhelming. I was like, I can't, and I won't do any of these things. A lot of oxy, a lot of different stuff in that, And I decided to have a pot chocolate instead, but I misread it and I had too much of it. And I was so high that I needed to cross the street, and I saw where I should cross. And I was like, oh, I missed it. And I just walked around the whole block again because it was almost like an exit ramp. Like I couldn't even, I was like, oh, I gotta keep on going.
Sounds amazing. I miss it.
Well, I thought, are you guys still talking about work secrets?
No, yeah, we're talking about drugs now, honey.
Well, I was going to say, not to bring down the mood, but I practice exclusively end-of-life care. So I don't know if I have any secrets that would be fun for the show.
I just put my dog down a handful of months ago.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you for supporting the euthanasia industry.
And I have to say, it was a very peaceful experience. But I think that it's such a tricky moment because you have to be so in with the family in that moment.
Yeah.
It's like you're in the middle of this. Like it's a you seem like you have a good personality for that.
I think so. Oh well, thank you. Yeah, but I agree. It's like not to downplay an actual therapist job, but like I feel like I'm as much a therapist as I am a vet because I'm in this moment with in like very vulnerable state of the people and I'm having to guide them through that process and everything. So yeah, it's very intimate and very very heavy.
Do you want to know something crazy? Like speaking of being a highly sensitive person, so one time when I used to open for Aziz, and one time we went to a veterans hospital. Mm-hmm. Like it was like,
yeah,
you know, I guess the idea was to spread cheer. But I am not made for that. This is where I'm like, I am too sensitive to do.
Aziz in a vet's hospital?
So like, this is what's crazy. Okay.
Not like a vet, like a
veteran, not a dog.
No, no, not a veterinarian's hospital. I'm just saying, I guess like I'm picturing you like talking to like all retirees, or are you talking to people who are like more young?
If we were at a veterinarian's and we're just like waving to dogs.
Hey, let me tell you something about cats.
No, you're like, when you're on set, here's a treat for you. When you're on set, there's nothing like that feeling. No, but it is crazy.
Randy.
Like seriously, like the experience, first of all, the very idea that a celebrity could walk through the halls of a, like, I mean, people were severely wounded, yeah. Like severely. I immediately start crying. I can't even spaces where I'm like, I remember I had someone in my family in Children's Hospital at one point. Oof. And I mean, I was looking at the children and the families in these, I was crying. I'm like, I don't know. I can't. I'm not someone to spread cheer.
I understand that.
Don't have the disposition. Now, I'm not going to say there weren't times where I was crying about something and then got on stage and did stand up right after. Like, I can pull it together.
Like Katy Perry in that documentary.
Exactly like that.
Yeah, just pop up.
Like, yeah outside the Slipper Room and like Seth Herzog's show in New York. But like, I don't have that sunshiny, like I feel like Natasha Leggero has that. She could put on that old timey show busy, like a lot of people have that in this business. I just don't have it. I've like cried in two interviews lately. Like I'm just like, I don't know.
Well, because it's like you have to like learn to shut off a certain part of yourself, I think.
Yeah.
And like,
yes.
Because you're also saying like,
as a veterinarian.
Well, you do.
You probably do. You're like, oh, hi, Sparky. And you're like, knowing you're going to have to put that dog down.
Well, but also, like, if you carried that weight every day, you would be totally in mourning all the time. You can't, you know, you got to be like, you know, the funniest guy was when we had to get the dog out of the house, or we had a big dog. And, like, they bring in a little stretcher to get the dog out.
Oh,
and that was
a
gurney. And that was the funniest part, was just like navigating, like, because the gurney's also not like state of the art. The gurney's like old as hell. Like it's like, you know, it's like, and
it's like got little cartoon bones all over it, like trying to keep, you know, like that's the saddest thing about hospitals is that it is that they always try to have like upbeat materials, like fabrics.
I know.
Nothing sadder.
What do you say to people who are grieving?
Yeah, their dog's going to die.
Yeah, well, I say a lot of things. I always encourage people to do it on the earlier side versus the later side. So like some of the quotes I always say is like, it's so much better to say goodbye a week too early than a day too late.
What does that mean? I'd be like, I'm sorry, is this a limerick? Can you fucking speak to me straight?
I actually found that to be actually the best advice that we got, because our dog was sick and it was like, we could put him down or we can continue to wait. And it would just get worse and worse.
You know what's weird about these vets, though? They're pretty, they're chomping at the bit to put these dogs down. They're always like, you know what? He's suffering. They're like, can I pump him full of drugs?
Okay, well, let me tell you what happened. So we did a big operation on my dog, and it was expensive. It was like a car. And they say, hey, we open him up. He had a cyst on the outside of his stomach. It exploded and it went inside his like there's a lot of crazy stuff, and they're like, it's pretty bad. Yeah. We can get rid of all this stuff, but we're gonna have to take a little bit of the stomach. And I was like, and so, you know, we're talking about it. And we talked to our vet, and our vet's like, you know, look, you've done a lot of good things for the dog. I think it's okay if you put him down.
Of course, it's okay to like I don't know.
Right, and so we said to the operating physician, we're gonna put him down, and she's like, wait, what? And we're like, wait. And she's like, no, you could keep him. And then we were like bullied into keeping him alive. And honestly, I could go back to that surgery and going like, I wish we would have just called it then, because it was such a downhill thing for the next 6 months. And it was, but like they walked us back. That surgeon walked us back.
God, it is such a hard choice. I mean, that's the one time I remember seeing my dad cry was when our cat was put down. One of the few.
I have to tell people a lot, you know, you have to decide, are you keeping them alive for you, or are you keeping them alive for them?
Yeah. It's like, me, decision. Duh.
Yeah.
<Exactly. laughs> I didn't get...
It's a one-sided relationship here.
That's so sad. I mean, that's really sad. But I'm sorry about
the other thing I'll quickly say, I always tell people that the last day doesn't have to be the worst day. You don't have to wait until your dog is absolutely miserable.
If I hung up right now. The last call does have to be the worst call, though. Click.
Bye.
But seriously, bye. Okay, wait.
Yes.
Wait, there was something. Oh, I can't remember. But anyway, I'm sorry about your dog. It is the worst feeling in the world. And, I was going to say, you know, all the laugh sound effects aside, I am sorry about your dog.
It is fine. It was time.
Yeah.
It's a lovely dog.
It was time. It wasn't his time. And then it was his time.
then it was his time again. Yeah. And then we got him out of there in that little stretcher.
It is crazy that you're just literally playing God with these dogs.
I know. Well, I think that's the other part that was really kind of unnerving too, because you're like, all right, I just put, like, there was a moment where like, did I make the right choice? Am I doing this because it's easy?
These doctors should just pull the trigger when, you know, they shouldn't put it in your
hands. They should put them in a dog escape room and go, hey, you know, or like, they should make the choice and come out and be like, hey, you didn't make it. Like, I don't need to see the whole.
That's horrible, actually. That's like sacrilege to even say. I am scared to say things like that.
Really?
Sometimes.
Well, if the dog was really sick and like, you just took the decision out of it.
Before we get out of here, do you believe in aliens? Jason Woolner seems to.
Yeah.
Why you not? Do?
Look, I feel like every now and then you keep on hearing, like, I think it's like they're putting it in the ether a little bit more.
Yeah, they're feeding a little more.
Oh, what's this?
More.
Oh, yeah, there's a hearing. Oh, and then all of a sudden there's like some Delta pilot last week. Right. It's like, oh, I saw it. Like, we're hearing, we're getting used to it. We're getting used to it all.
Right.
I don't know.
Getting acclimated.
Hey, look, I'm going to believe in them because when they come down here, I want to be on their side.
But it's like, that's what people say about AI too. It's like, don't talk mean to Siri. It's like, this is getting to be a lot of kooky stuff we're headed toward.
I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like we're always afraid of something. Mm-hmm. We're afraid of cell phones and video games.
Well,
too.
HSPs are. And it's a survival mechanism. Paul, this has been an absolute pleasure.
Such a blast.
Also just truly high volume verbiage. I mean, we are two motor mouths.
We got it going on. We did a lot of chatting.
We barely even scratched the surface of our lists.
We barely even talked about me. I don't think anyone. HSP is like the only thing.
Oh my God. We didn't even get into New Year's resolutions.
We set it up. We just didn't pay it off. I think that can you hang this sign and then at the end of every episode just like pull it
like a sitcom.
Yeah, like
that is a good idea. Damn, we didn't even get to these. I actually love these topics. Friend favors, nachos, New Year's resolutions.
So much. What's an appetizer?
What is an appetizer? I'll never know. All right. Well, maybe you'll come back and we'll
yeah, this is a blast.
We'll
who was supposed to be here? Who am I taking over for?
I told you no one.
Oh, okay. All right.
I literally told Paul when I asked him yesterday to do this, no one has canceled. I'm just disorganized.
Oh, I thought that somebody had canceled.
No. Okay. I genuinely meant that. Like, I feel like my mind would be like, who canceled that you're asking me last minute? But I'm just disorganized.
I like it last minute. I was like, it was great.
Me too. I kind of prefer. All right. Well, listen, Paul Scheer, do you have something to promote?
Yeah. You can buy my book. You can buy my book.
Oh, yeah, book.
You can buy my book, Joyful Recollections of Trauma, which is available for pre-order now. And apparently that's the most important thing, is selling these books before the book comes out.
Where do they get it?
Anywhere. Wherever books are sold.
You got to get that book.
And... You want to talk about an OCD thing or maybe a highly sensitive person thing. I felt very, not badly. I'm like, I really love my book. I'm excited that it's going to be out in the world. You can see my diagnosis in the book. But if you buy my book, you can go to my website and then sign up and I'll write you a personal postcard.
Me?
Anyone who signs up.
Okay, that's cool. So you're going to get a postcard.
Yeah, for the first 3,000. And
wow. It's all 3,000 postcards?
I've done 500
sure?
so far.
That's insane.
It's a lot.
That's too much.
It's too much.
You better get to be a bestseller from that.
I hope. Oh my God. And then what will happen?
By the way, I've been at 1.9 million followers on Instagram for 85 years. Could someone else, is it just one more person? I don't understand math. Do I need just one more follower and I'll be at 2 million?
Yeah, why are you gonna get up there?
It's annoying.
1.9, that's giant.
But I need it to just be 2 and then keep going from there.
All right, I like
I've been static. All right.
All right.
Okay. So Paul is hopping into, what are you driving these days in your fantasy?
Chrysler Pacifica. Oh, wait. Oh, in my fantasy? Yeah. Chrysler Pacifica.
Okay, here he goes. He's heading out.
Bye.
I'm driving one of those Hollywood celebrity tour buses in a disguise. And I'm heading out to... Beverly Hills.
I am not convinced iHeart was right about hanging up on people faster. I feel undecided, but I am a lonely robot with no friends.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm gonna let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.